This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to the Wheelhouse.
You can see the confidence build day by day, and there is an electricity to his personality on the field that's really hard to look away from.
Starring Jerry DePoto.
And Jerry DePoto to the plate with a 2-2 pitch to Alex. Swing and a miss. He struck him out on the fastball.
With Aaron Goldsmith.
And now chapter three is, yeah, he's a real ball player. He's an impactful player. He can do a ton for your team, and this is a guy that can really help to solidify a big league lineup.
And Gary Hill Jr.
He seems along those lines where he wants to be great and does everything possible to go get it.
It's time for the Wheelhouse. Here's Aaron.
Welcome inside a very special edition of the Wheelhouse podcast. I'm Aaron Goldsmith alongside Gary Hill. As always, joined by Mariners General Manager Jerry DePoto. Jerry, this is about as exciting of a day as a big league club can ask for. Two of baseball's top prospects are being called up today to the Mariners, Logan Gilbert and Jared Kelnick. What a day for the Mariners organization, for you as a general manager, and for the future of this ball club.
It really is, and a celebration for our scouting department, for our player development group, and hopefully, fingers crossed, it's as fun at the end of the day as it is here at the start. But, you know, these are such talented players, and you know, I know there has been a lot of chatter over the course of this year to date in anticipation of this day, and so much fun for us to be able to do it at the start of a homestand with both players at the same time. And hopefully this is this goes a long way toward building, you know, the personality of this team as we move forward, with so many of our young players already here and now these two joining the group, and we expect many more to follow.
So what was it like to give the phone call to Jared and to Logan and let them know that they were coming to the big leagues?
You know, we called them a little ahead of time, which was a little outside the norm. Typically, this is something, you know, maybe we would have called yesterday to let them know, hey, you're coming up today and here's what is expected. But we let them know a little ahead of time, which is why, you know, the news actually wound up leaking through a variety of different sources. But we wanted to give them a heads up, both so that their families could get here and be here and present for their major league debuts, because, you know, that's a big moment. And that wasn't part of what we were able to do, you know, as an industry in 2020 because of the obvious pandemic and the protocols. And now that we're open a little more, we wanted to make sure that we connected again in that way. And we were able to do that in years past. And we don't want to rob this generation of player from that that joy, really, and having your families around to watch you debut. And then the other was, particularly in Logan's case, giving him, you know, enough information to start to digest his opponent. We don't have a player who I think is any more geared toward preparation and then studying opponents and digging into the data than Logan. And to give him a couple of days head start on preparing for the Indians, we thought was the wise thing to do.
Along those lines, we had heard a story about Logan Gilbert, and your staff had walked him through a game prep for the Boston Red Sox. Not that he was pitching against Boston, but you went through a similar meeting like he was going to pitch against them. Can you tell us about that process?
So, you know, we did do that with Logan, and you know, the like so many other things, the creative brainchild of our pitching group, who do a remarkable job. But, you know, in this case, Logan wasn't with us through the course of the early season. He wasn't with us as an active member of the pitching staff in the waning days of spring training. He was down with a little bit of a shoulder issue. So we wanted to make sure, understanding that through the course of this. You know, we communicated with Logan at the end of last summer, August, September, that here's the plan for 2021 and how we're planning on building your innings. And this is right about in line with where we thought would be on the calendar. So this isn't naturally an answer to, injuries, where we might be in terms of needs of starting pitching. This is what we were planning anyway. It just so happens that it lands on this spot in the wheel. And in making sure that Logan was prepared for this, we thought it wise to go through full-blown pitching meetings, like what we would do in advance of an opponent. He had the opportunity to do this. I don't know if you recall, but in 2019, in September of 19, we had a group of young players, among them Logan, Evan White, who Cal Raleigh, who was another, came to the big leagues in 2019 not to play, but to observe and to take part in the pregame meetings, etc. Well, Logan hadn't really run through this since then. So we put him through this meeting as if he were pitching against the Red Sox. We were preparing him for an opponent that is different than maybe the way you would prepare in Double A, which to that point was the extent of his experiences. In Double A, and this is no slant to, there's, you are preparing for a 9-man lineup, but you know where the hot spots are. And, in the big leagues, every spot's a hot spot. And there's these guys were stars in Double A, the guys that are hitting 7th, 8th, and 9th in a major league lineup. So preparing him for it ahead of time was really important. And he took it to it like a fish to water. And he was a star on the day that we had that meeting, and it wowed everybody, just his acumen for how to dissect an opponent and prepare.
When you look at that skill set that Logan has, and we know the stuff, right? We know the competitiveness, but the acumen, the pitching mind, it seems like when we hear you talk about him, when we hear your pitching group speak about him, even outsiders in the industry talk about Logan Gilbert, this seems to be a big separator for Logan Gilbert. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, Logan's really sharp, and that was evident the day we met him after the draft. Scott Hunter had the fortune of meeting him while he was at Stetson. Our scouting people had started to develop some relationship with him. And, along the way, they gave us insight into how smart they thought this young player was. And he came to Seattle to sign his contract and go through a press conference, etc. And, within a day of sitting with him, it was very evident that he just ticked a little bit different than most guys do. And, his curiosity jumps out immediately. He asks great questions. He also understands his own skill set as well as any young pitcher I've ever been around. He knows what he does well. He knows how that works out on a field. And his ability to envision how he'll tunnel his pitches, how he shapes his pitches. You'll watch him go out and work through bullpens where he's just methodically controlling his delivery and creating a vision of what it's going to look like on the other end, the pitch qualities. And, I think that's just they're remarkable traits for any pitcher, really, but for such a young guy who'd not had any experience, he was really prepared for the professional experience. And that's what I think has allowed him to move through the system as quickly as he has. Because this has been a fast journey with no baseball last year. And it's an exciting time for all of us.
What were their responses like? Were they similar, different at all when you gave them the news over the phone?
They were both so different. And that's their personalities. You really couldn't be too far different on the spectrum in the way these guys are wired. Logan, very quiet, very thoughtful. He accepted it in the moment. He received it as this is a dream come true. I can't wait to call my dad. And Jared had 1,000 questions, and he too was incredibly excited, very appreciative of the notice on the front end and said it. I've been working for this all my life. And you could tell both guys in a different way were emotional about the moment. Like we all were when that call came. It's such an exciting thing. And whether you're 21 like Jared is, or you're 24 like Logan, or you're 30 like some of the more extreme cases of first-time big leaguers, when you get that call or when somebody is giving you that insight, it's an emotional thing. And you start thinking about all the people who helped get you to that point, your parents, your siblings, your coaches, the people that you've come across through the years. And you know, I happened to have made those calls, and you know, Jared was in his car on the highway, so maybe a little tougher to I didn't want to break the concentration too much, you know. And Logan, I caught him at home after the game. So, you know, at the end of the day, both guys were prepared for it, and I think both guys and in some small way knew that their time was coming, and I don't think it was shocking that they were receiving that call. So a lot of fun, and I know, again, the joy around the organization that we've gotten to this day is it's something else, and as we continue to watch the young players in our system grow, you know, it's starting to get to become a little more realistic how good some of these players can be. And now we get to see the start of it, which is exciting.
Yeah, you're right. This is such an exciting day. What's kind of your expectations for this short-term time frame that we'll see them?
We thought this was a great opportunity. And especially in Logan's case, and this I've shared with him, you know, we targeted somewhere in the 110, 120 inning mark as what we thought was the right target for Logan this year. And you know, by timing his inning progression the way we did in the spring, bringing him to the big leagues here in the middle of May, if he goes according to turn and he takes every turn for the remainder of the season, he's going to wind up with about 20 starts. And if you do the math at 5 or 6 innings a start, it's going to put him right about where we want him to be without having to skip starts, mm-hmm. without having to artificially manage it. And that is one of the benefits of the 6-man rotation, is that we knew we were doing this with Logan and with others. And with JK, you know, he knew when he left big league camp that he was going to go back to the co-op and he was going to move on to minor league camp. We were going to try to maximize the number of at-bats that he got against left-hand pitching, which we did. And he got about another 120 plate appearances by being in that environment for that period of time. And, you know, so this isn't really or wasn't really about another, let's call it 25 or so plate appearances in AAA. We're by the way, it was pretty impressive. But it was about the, you know, the buck 20 that we were able to pick up by leaving him behind in Arizona. And, you know, when all said and done, that's an extra 150 plate appearances against high level pitching that he just hadn't seen before. So it's sometimes there's more there than actually shows up on the back of a baseball card. So in the short term, I think you'll see a lot of what we saw in the spring, which is a very advanced pitcher who you might see. And if Friday night, I was down in Tacoma to watch, if Friday night was any indication, you're going to see a little more velocity than maybe you saw when we left Arizona, because he's fully built up now. And on Friday night in Tacoma, he was up to 97 miles an hour. He's sitting around 95 in his outing. And you know, it's for Logan, the fastball impact is even greater than what it shows up on the gun, and he's always been a strike thrower, and he's very deceptive, and we think he's going to be he'll make this transition with no problem. He's got a very slow heartbeat, and the way it, you know, the way the operation works is going to be just as difficult for big league hitters. We're not expecting him to walk in and you know, lay down Cy Young type achievement. He'll acclimate like any other young player, but we feel like he's up for the challenge. And with Jared, Jared's going to walk through that door, and he will have his normal confidence, his normal swagger, and my guess is he's anticipating hitting a homer on the first pitch he sees, because that's the way it goes. He's that talented, and he knows what he's about. And that's exciting, because I think it, and I mentioned earlier, in the short term, I do think that these types of players are exciting to watch debut at any point. But to bring them in and start to create a new personality for our group and reshape that, you know, we have so many good young players, we have so many good people on our club, and to have a little swag walk through the door and to have that thoughtful, you know, mindful approach to what we're doing, it just adds another dimension to what the Mariners are already about.
In the perfect world of Logan Gilbert as a big league starting pitcher, he could pitch deep into games every 6 days, just like you envision him doing one day once he really gets settled in to this role in the major leagues. But is there a possibility that he does have some outings over the course of the summer where he is rolling, right? I mean, this is what you would dream on. He's pitching well through 6. He could go into the 7th. Who knows? Maybe he could go into the 8th inning. But as you laid out the math a few moments ago about him 20-some starts and the inning load that you're aiming for Logan Gilbert this year, is there a chance that Scott might have to remove Logan at some point prematurely in a game with the finish line front of mind with his innings count? Is that a possibility?
I don't think so, but maybe more like 2019 and the way we handled Yusei. If we get to that point and we have to do a short one-inning start, that is something that was not foreign to our young minor league pitchers. That's where we started doing this. So, Logan's lived through that as a way to help manage innings, is the 1-2-inning start. We don't think we'll have to do that, and we're all for, unleashing him. If he throws 7-8 innings and is able to be that efficient with his pitches, let it happen. I will also say that, on Friday in Tacoma, he threw 5 innings. His last outing before we left Arizona, he was up to 73 pitches. So he's built up to 75-ish pitches. We anticipate today getting in that 80, 85 range. So the first couple of outings are going to be, abnormally short for Logan, because we're going to manage that pitch count as we continue to build him. But he's capable of going out there today and throwing 85 pitches or thereabouts. And for Logan Gilbert, that gets you through 5 innings most of the time. But don't want to assume that in his first outing in the big leagues that's going to be the case. But I think the first couple of outings are more likely to be shorter than those thereafter. But we want him to make the rest of his starts in the big leagues and finish the season, which is something that's important to both him and us.
What is watching the game tonight going to be like for you?
So much fun. We've graduated some really good players in the last couple of seasons. And, whether they were guys who had some small level of experience in the big leagues, like a Justice Sheffield, or guys that this was their first time, like a Kyle Lewis or Justin Dunn, or Evan White. And obviously those are players that we've had throughout their development. Mm. And you just grow attached to those players. And I would say that when I watch the game, you take on the feeling of a fan, but you're also, and I hate to use this term, but I'm going to use it anyway, you get a little mother hen-ish, you're because these are your players. They're your young players. They're graduating, and you don't want to see them struggle. You don't want to see them get punched in the nose. But they're going to, and that's part of the package. And it's kind of like being a parent when your kids grow up and they go to high school. You don't want to you don't want to see them go through the things that we all go through when we're in those years in our lives and the adolescent years. It's a very similar situation in baseball. They're going to go through some growing pains, some more than others, and you know it's coming, and you don't want to see it happen. But on that first day, you're a little apprehensive. Your fingers crossed. Come on, make it a good one. Make it a good one. And then by the second time they're out there, you feel a little bit more like it's old hat, and you can just root for them. And we root for all of the players. And you're watching the game through a slightly different lens, that of an evaluator most of the time. But you're doing it while in the background rooting for this guy to do something that frankly might be a little above, his present skill set, because you're dialed as a fan and you want to see the best for them, just like you do for your kids.
Jerry, you referenced the plate appearances, the at-bats for Kelnick from the time of big league camp to the co-op, minor league spring training, and then his handful of games with the Rainiers this year. Have there been things that you or your group have identified as levels of progression for Jared in that roughly 100 to 150 times of the plate during the time that we, I guess, last saw him?
Well, first, he's been great everywhere. Really from the start of major league camp, what he did in the co-op, what he did, I want to say on the low end, and I'm ballparking here, if memory serves, in major league spring training, he was somewhere in the neighborhood of a 950-ish or thereabouts OPS, 1,000-ish. That was the low bar. he went to the co-op and he did it against other teams' top prospects who were at a similar stage in their careers. And, one of the real points of focus for us was facing the left-hand pitching. It's upper level left-hand pitching, and this sounds like a nuance, but it's really different. The upper level left-hand pitchers, you're going to get pitched backwards a lot more. You're going to see a lot more breaking balls and fastball counts, and that's going to be true in the big leagues. And when you are at the lower levels of the minor leagues, and you're Jared Kelnick and you walk in and you're a top 10 pick in the draft, and you're a celebrated prospect among the five best in baseball by most, you know, evaluators, and the lefty goes out there and goes 2-0 on you, you know what they do on 2-0? They throw you a fastball, you know, because that's what they do. And it's a little bit different once you get to Double A and beyond. And this is where, you know, the loss of the 2020 season just wasn't helpful to us. We didn't get to grow through that stage. And you know, it's a little easier in A-ball to either hammer the 2-0 fastball or just take your walk when it's that time, because they just pitch around you. There comes a point where they don't pitch around you anymore. And it generally starts when you start to get to the AAA big league level. And, you know, they're good too. And I thought it was pivotal that we were able to get that type of left-on-left experience for Jared while he was in Arizona. It was fortunate for us that he got it in AAA right out of the chute. You know, I actually laughed out loud. The very first at bat he had in Tacoma is against the left-hand pitching, and he smokes a home run. And I thought, he learned the lesson. these are things that JK knew, we talked about, and I can't say it was, as I said to him, we know this is something you're going to be great at. You just need experience doing it. And he took it and he ran with it. And he has been. He's been great at it. And he did it without complaint. He worked his tail off. And he earned the right to be here. And my guess is that he's going to have the same general level of success here that he's had everywhere else he's been, because he wills himself to do it. Incredibly talented. And his will to be great is as strong as any player I've ever encountered. He doesn't want to be good. He wants to be a great player, and that's a wonderful trait with any player, but particularly one as talented as he is.
Is that something that you have to make sure doesn't work against him in some form? I don't know. There's a level of intensity there that obviously is advantageous, but it feels like that could also turn against a player in tough times. Is that true? Is that not true?
You know, I've experienced that player in my career, guys like that, you know, and I won't call out names, but the player who is so intense that he beats himself up when it's not going well. Part of that through the minor league journey is you sooner or later, whether it's for 2 weeks or 4 weeks, somewhere you're going to struggle. And, you know, Jared's journey was so quick, we really didn't see that. And, you know, you hate for the first struggle to be in the big leagues. My guess is that was going to be the case with Jared regardless, because he was that talented. And I tend to think that he is intense as all get out, and he doesn't take it out on himself. He just goes and works at it. He goes and works harder, and he gets back out there. He's not grinding on the, oh, how did I miss that at bat? He is salivating at the next time he gets a chance to go beat you. And, you know, there's a little bit of a distinction there, because and I can't say I've really seen him wear the 1-for-15 that is somewhere in careers tends to be inevitable. I don't think he's going to be, you know, focused on the 15 at bats that came before this one. He's just going to go out there and he wants to eat you alive in that at bat, because that's just how he's wired.
You know, it's funny, because there's clearly a lot of differences in personality between Logan and Jared. But I remember when we talked to Logan in the offseason, and I think the term perfectionist came up, and he's like, yeah, maybe baseball wasn't the greatest sport to pick to be a perfectionist. But he seems along those lines where he wants to be great and does everything possible to go get it.
Couldn't agree. And, you know, you will walk out, and I know you have seen this in spring training. You walk out and it's a beautiful 7 a.m. and, you know, the sun's coming up in the desert, and it's just starting to get from that desert cool to warming up in the morning. And there's a couple of players sitting over at a table having their breakfast. There might be somebody from the local news channel or Root setting up a camera in the background. You know, the guys are driving golf carts around, setting up balls and screens on the cages. And Logan Gilbert is going through his dry deliveries on the mound by himself with no one else around. And, you know, someone once said that, you know, character is kind of what you do when the door is closed and nobody's watching. And that's Logan Gilbert. He is so prepared. He is so thoughtful. And he's doing it when you're not watching. Mm-hmm. You know, if I had to pick a player who wears a Mariners uniform today, there's Mitch Haniger has a lot of these traits. You know, he is always thinking about how he can make himself better. And he doesn't need you to come tap on his shoulder and say, hey, we need to go do X. He's doing it before you thought of tapping him on the shoulder. And, you know, that's a wonderful feeling in player development when you have players that are pushing themselves like that, which was evident with Logan at a very, you know, early stage in his professional career. And my guess is that it's going to be even more magnified as he goes through this.
You know, Jerry, as we record this in the home radio booth, we look out, we see the Hit It Here Cafe. I can't help but think about the story that you have told long ago at this point about Jared Kelnick coming to T-Mobile Park as a high schooler days before the draft and working out in front of you, Scott Service, and others. It's the stories of legends. Can you take us back to what that day was like?
Think about that. High school senior, just 2 days prior to his draft, hopped on a plane, flew out to Seattle by himself, made his way to T-Mobile, then Safeco, and walked into the batter's box and just started hitting rockets all over the place after very little sleep. And, you know, and he did. He hit a ball off the Hit It Here Cafe, off the window. And I was sitting with then special assistant to me, Tom McNamara, wonderful guy. And T-Mac was our scouting director for many years. By this time, Scott Hunter had already become our scouting director. And I was standing with Tommy Mack, and he said to me, in a way that only Tom McNamara could, "Jer, you ever seen anything like this?" And I said, "Yeah, Roy Ha-Ha." It was like something out of The Natural, really was. And you know, it just, there's, because it started like you would watch he started hitting line drives to left center field, worked his way around the field, and then just started launching off the cafe. And, you know, I started to make my way toward the cage just to try to get a different angle because I was standing by the third base dugout watching the angle of the bat. And when he started rotating around the field and launching balls, you know, I this is magical. And as I made my way toward the cage, I had to hop over the puddle of saliva that had dripped out of Scott's mouth as he was watching. And for all joking aside, it was incredibly impressive. We went in after the workout, and he spent about 20 minutes sitting in Scott Service's office just visiting about whatever Wisconsin guys talk about in baseball downtime, talking about the Packers and cheese and I don't know, maybe
just dairy in general.
Yeah, they had an immediate talking point because of where they were from. And you know, you'll do these workouts, and so frequently the young player comes, and while there's not 40,000 people sitting in the stands, it's a big jump from what you're used to playing, you know, in Wisconsin high school baseball.
I just love the imagery of a high school Jared Kelnick in shorts and a t-shirt holding a bat in one hand and just knocking on the ballpark front doors in the other, just showing up for his workout all alone before he just smashes the windows in on the Hit It Here Cafe. And how far everybody has come since that workout, and it all comes to fruition step one tonight with his major league debut, and Logan Gilbert as well. Jerry, what an exciting day for the organization and for those two young men, and as always, we can't thank you enough for spending some time with us.
Oh, glad to do it, guys. I look forward to the recap after this one because it'll be even more fun.
It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.